Now I have a reading from Reverend William Sinkford. Perhaps that is how we need to understand ourselves, not as the already conscious leaders waiting for the deluded dreamers to awaken, but as one community of resistance, struggling to stay awake and aware ourselves. One community of resistance to the hate and violence, ready to partner with other communities of resistance. Climate activists showing up at a Black Lives Matter demonstration and Black Lives Matter banners marching in pride parades. Communities of resistance willing to build a more embracing dream together. Because resistance is what love looks like in the face of hate. Resistance is what love looks like in the face of violence. Are we willing to live as if the beloved community is not just an idle dream? Are we willing to love this faith and love ourselves enough not to settle for the world as it is, but to build and inhabit the world we dream about? Will we trust this faith that does believe in the power of love, trust this faith enough to help us find a new way, a way out of no way? Because it is only together that we can find the will not to look away this time.
So what does a community of prophecy look like? I can tell you some of the things I've observed. Over the past couple months, we've been working with monthly themes that have laid some of the groundwork that a people of prophecy would need. We started with presence that we talked about last month. Presence being some appreciation of inspiration, some grounding for what we feel we're about, a moral compass for our decisions, the inner depth that we've been talking about for the last year and a half as a community. But then in November, we developed story, and a people of prophecy need to develop their story, the words they use to express their ideas, the language that their positions are put in. Like Tevye and Fiddler on the Roof, we need to appreciate our traditions. What have we done in the past that has been helpful? Where have we shown our ability to contribute to the greater good? We need to raise our awareness. Our story needs to raise our awareness of what the issues are at this time. Not just our issues, but other people's issues. Positions. We all thought we were quite aware of our positions before the election this past November, but there were obviously positions that we were unaware of or didn't appreciate the widespread nature of them. But then as a community, we try to become prophetic. We try to figure out which positions serve the greater good. Which actions might we take that will move us toward a more enlightened community, a more enlightened society? We try to become present in those discussions, in those places where people are struggling with some of these things. This would be the outer focus that we've talked about for the past year and a half. Sometimes we'll move as an individual, trying to find our place, our positions, our movements, but sometimes we'll move corporately, and I don't mean business, I mean as a group, because there's power in numbers. If you realize what positions you want to take and who else is working on those positions. This should be nothing new to us. If you look around this room, you can see it written on the walls. If you look in your bulletin, it's on the inside of the last page. Some of these things we've been trying to do. Some of the examples, we've provided sanctuary in the past and supported sanctuary more recently. We have people standing on the side of love on the Capitol steps each year. We've flown a Black Lives Matter banner. We've obtained a banner for refugees and immigrants. More on the home front, we've got neighborhood connectors. We wear safety pins, if you're so inclined. We've got BV Can. We support I Have a Dream. There are lots of things that are going on that are prophetic movements. I've made some observations about what I think are signs of a healthy prophetic community. I'm a medical physician, so I look for ways that I can see signs that people are healthy. Well, sometimes you look at movements to see, or positions to know if they're healthy. I think some of the signs of a healthy prophetic movement would be that they're invitational. They're not judgmental. They want to awake you. They don't want to convert you. They want you to be aware of the decisions you're making and how it affects other people. In that way, they want you to be mindful, intentional with the positions you take, the language you use, the places you show up to show your support. They're they celebrate. Toot toot. Okay. You know the word I'm going for. But they're not threatening. They're not the fire and damnation type of presentation. I guess I like the presentation of the laughing Jesus, the laughing Buddha. They knew they were on a good thing. They were enjoying their life. They knew there were problems in their society they were living in, but they knew they were on a good journey that they were enjoying. It would be the carrying forward of the New Year's Eve party into the coming year. For the Christmas candle in the window, it's calling people back to a presence that you're aware of. It's the invitation for respite. It's keeping the window candle burning for those who need it. It's collaborative. By that, what I understand is that it's not a position that insists that you accept everything I believe or we believe, but rather, what are we both working toward that is going to be beneficial going forward? What do we have in common? Not necessarily accepting a whole position, but working on that which moves us forward. A healthy prophetic community is humble. Not a superior position. We're in this together. It's not, I know the answer, why don't you come along with me? It's rather, we're all working on the solution together. The label of being a prophetic community is earned. It's not something you can self-proclaim. People will know it by seeing where you are, what you're supporting, and what you're doing. To paraphrase an old hymn, they'll know that you are prophetic by your love. So in conclusion, a community of prophecy, as we study it this month, is invitational. It's an example of how you can live. And within that group, it's a culture that you've developed. So hopefully we can resolve to be prophetic, such as, I will be so, we will be so, they will see. If you open your bulletin to the last, inside of the last page, a few things that we can resolve for the new year are printed on that page. I will say the intro and we can read together the seven principles. We resolve to affirm and promote, number one, the inherent worth and dignity of every person. We resolve to affirm and promote, number two, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. We resolve to affirm and promote acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations. We resolve to affirm and promote a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. We resolve to affirm and promote the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process within our congregations and in society at large. We resolve to affirm and promote the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. We resolve to affirm and promote respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. Those are your New Year's resolutions. Good luck. May they last longer than an hour. Now, if you want to stand and join us as you're willing and able, hymn number 1023, Building